die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika.
OMD formed in 1978 with members Andy McCluskey, Paul Humphries, Martin Cooper and Stuart Herschel, becoming key figures in the emergence of synth pop with major hits like Souvenir, Enola Gay, Sailing the Seven Seas, to name but a few.
After a split in 1996, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, known as OMD, reformed in 2006 with the classic lineup that you will see again. The 27th of October 2023 will see the release of their 14th studio album called Bauhaus Staircase.
And Andy McCluskey joins us now live with major news. So Andy, it's so good to see you and so good to chat to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Where are you dialing in from? Where are you calling off? Where are we chatting to you from?
I'm at home and surprisingly looking out my window, it's sunny on Merseyside, which is a rarity this time of the year. So it's all good.
Let me tell you, I spoke to Sharunika earlier and I mentioned to her quickly when I heard your surname McCluskey, the first thing I said, it must be Scottish. So Lee, tell us a little bit about that. Have you got Scottish origin?
Andy, I've got to tell you, this man has been digging into your genealogy just to prove that you are Scottish.
Oh, well I'm yes and no, okay? My dad was from Glasgow, so my father was Scottish, but the name is actually Irish. There's a lot of Matts in Ireland as well, and I know that if you really want the genealogy, I'll tell you where it comes from. It's a corruption of Muck Bloskey. We're all descended from one guy, Bloskey O'Kane, who is known because in 1136 he murdered the prince to the Irish throne, a guy called Murta O'Loughlin. So we are all descended from a murderer.
Oh my word!
Well, on that note,
I feel I shouldn't be laughing at that, but.
That's crazy.
It was a long time ago.
Well, Andy, let me tell you, I've had the privilege of touring Scotland for 2 years, and I had the best time ever. Pitlochry, Perth, name it, Edinburgh. I was there for a couple of years, and I had the best and most beautiful place. I mean, I really love the UK.
Well, you know what? I mean, as a kid, we invariably went up to Scotland and we toured all over with a tent and then a caravan. So I've seen every inch of that country when I was a kid, and I still love going up there.
Oh, wow. Let's go all the way back, as we mentioned earlier, when you started. I think you pretty much coined the whole thing synth pop. All right, if I'm correct. Am I correct in saying that?
Well, what started out in the mid-70s as a crazy hobby with Paul and I just making weird noises around at his mother's house when she was at work on a Saturday, we dared finally in 78 to go on stage, and we were just going to do one gig because we didn't think anybody was interested. Certainly our friends thought it was horrible music. They weren't interested at all. We dared to do this one gig. We gave ourselves a crazy name because it didn't matter. And here I am now, 45 years later, still doing it, still with the crazy band name. And who knew in 78 that within a couple of years, what we were doing would suddenly go from not being liked to being part of the first wave of English synth pop that took over the world, you know?
Absolutely. So looking back, you just said now, 45 years later, and looking back since that very first gig that you did, how would you describe this incredible career of yours?
It's been a blessed 45-year total accident, and I'm happy about it. I mean, listen, what we discovered was that what we thought was experimental was actually very melodic and very poppy. And we've had this career of still trying to always be experimental, but always putting melodies and good hooks on the top. So it's we've been so lucky to have so many hits over the years. And I think that's obviously what sustained us because people like the music. Hallelujah. I'm a happy boy.
Well, I've got to ask you, Andy, we're going to come back to all the amazing things that OMD's done as well. I think if we go through your timeline, we'll be here until tomorrow morning. But let's take you back to 1996 and especially your kind of career move, because Andy, Atomic Kitten, come on, I'm fangirling so hard. What was your hand in there?
Well, yes, there came a point in the mid-90s when, with the advent of grunge and Britpop, that it seemed like an 80s synth band was past its sell-by date. So I saw the writing on the wall and I decided, well, I was conceited enough to think I could still write good songs. I just needed another vehicle. And I advertised in my local Liverpool Echo paper, met a load of prospective singers, found some great young girls, didn't have a clue what I was doing. But amazingly, Stuart, who now plays drums in my band, he and I wrote their whole first album, and including Hole Again, which was a huge hit. And it was a crazy but very exciting couple of years in my life. But to be honest, I'm kind of glad I'm doing my own music again. It was a wild ride for a couple of years with those three.
Andy, I think we should get to that because, I mean, that led to the reunion in 2006. But the question would be, what happened? What made you decide to reunite in 2006?
Well, times changed. I think we realized that we'd gone into the postmodern cultural era where all popular culture, not just music, is kind of essentially eating its own history. So there was nothing new. Therefore, there was nothing old or out of fashion. So people started asking us, did we want to play some gigs? So in 2007, we put 9 gigs on sale. They sold out. We ended up doing 49 gigs that year. And it was very, very exciting. The next phase we had to go through, though, was after a couple of years, we had to say to ourselves, are we now just a tribute band to ourselves? Will we only ever play the hits? Or do we dare to do the crazy thing and make some new music? And now we've done 3 albums that were very well received, and we've got a new one coming out this week.
Can't wait to hear the full album. We've had snippets of it. But let's get back to it, because if I've got my facts correct, the last album, 2017, tell us about the brand new album that you started writing now. What was the inspiration behind the album? And actually, why did you decide to wait so long for, what is it, 6 years, 7 years since the last album?
When you get to my age, it takes a while to come up with good songs. You know, Paul and I do a lot of writing, but trust me, it's not all gold. You have to be a vicious self-editor and make sure that you only keep in the good stuff. We released an album, as you say, in 96 called Punishment to Luxury. We toured with that extensively. Then it was the 40th anniversary of our band starting. So we had a book out and a compilation album. We toured with that. And we toured with that right up until February 2020. Then guess what happened next month? The pandemic. And the world came to a stop. I ended up sitting in my programming room here in Merseyside. And I thought, well, I am so bored. I think I need to write some songs. And that's really, that's where the genesis of this album came from, really, over the last 3.5 years. Just trying to make some new music, which I honestly didn't think we would. I didn't think I'd have the energy to kind of dig into my heart and my head to come up with good stuff. Because as I said, it does get harder and harder. But with some ruthless self-editing, some good music that I got inspired and excited about, there's a new album. And half of it is kind of frustrated and angry about the pandemic and about politics and about what's been going on. But the other half actually was, you know, I think humans rediscovered that we can be loving and empathetic during the pandemic because we're all looking out for each other as well. So there's a lot of love and kindness in the album as well. It's kind of seems to be an album of two extremes.
All right, so we're going to leave it there for now. Andy, please stay with us. We'll have another chat after this.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika.
I want to get to the songwriting for you specifically as well, Andy, and just pick your brain on that a bit, because I know there's people that says they would wake up with this strong melody in their heads and they would just go with that. Other people says they need to go away and break away into the mountains or whatever the case might be to get inspiration for writing an album. How do you write music? What is your starting point?
I usually two completely separate things. I get inspiration from anywhere, you know, watching the TV, news, art. I get a lot of inspiration from art. I've always been into art. I was supposed to go and do a fine art degree in 1978, but I started a band instead. But then it's the music and the, when the songs are being created, it's always the music first. We start trying to do something that excites us, that's maybe a bit different, but invariably it gets worked up until we've got the melodies and the hooks and the vocals on top. And you just hope that at some point you kind of go, well, this, I like this piece of music. Maybe I could sing about the thing I've been making notes on and wanting to sing about. And you marry the two together. I mean, that's how Enola Gay started. That's how Joan of Arc started. And that's how half the tracks on this album started. It's it's a process of trying to combine the two elements, the lyrical idea and the music.
Speaking of combining that and speaking to the art part that you just said, Bauhaus Staircase. Okay, so for two Afrikaans people in South Africa, this was a very interesting title. For the absolute, please dumb it down for us. Bauhaus Staircase. What on earth?
Okay. Well, Bauhaus probably resonates because it's a German word. So there was an art movement in Germany, an art school from 1919 to 1933 called the Bauhaus. And it was a practical art school. It was architecture and design and theatre. It was applied art. And it was a wonderful and incredible place. Unfortunately, the Nazis shut it down in 1933 because totalitarian regimes don't like art. They're scared of art. They don't understand it. They think it's being critical. It often is. So I was using Bauhaus Staircase. There's a painting by one of the lecturers called Oskar Schlemmer called Bauhaus Staircase, and it's students on a staircase at the school. I was using that as my jumping off point. You don't need to be frightened. It's not a history lesson. You don't need to know all about Bauhaus. I was just using it as a metaphor, really, for the power of art and performance, because obviously during the pandemic, we didn't have it. Okay, fortunately, we weren't shut down by the Nazis, but we were shut down by a pandemic. And what we discovered was that, I don't know what it's like in South Africa, but here in the UK, and I know also in Germany, the government didn't give any money to people in the arts. They were all left to just survive themselves. And in fact, we actually had a poster of a girl. So today she's a ballerina. Next year she could be an IT expert. Effectively, the government was saying that your art is worthless. Go and get a real job. And I don't think art is worthless. I think art is passionate, great art speaks to us in a way that, you know, okay, yeah, you need food in your tummy, but you need your soul feeding as well. And when it was all taken away from us in the pandemic, I think the world was a less beautiful and wonderful and connected place. So it's a metaphor for the power of art.
Wow. So the 27th of October, we'll see the brand new albums launched, the full album. Tell us a little bit about the album. Is it one of those albums where you need to follow it track by track, or is it all different? Does it flow into each other, or is it different tracks altogether?
Well, they're all different, 12 different tracks. I think it does flow actually quite well. It's not a concept album. There's nothing that binds it all together other than it was written by Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. The three tracks that have been released so far have been very well received, and people love the new videos. We've got some great video people that we're working with. And yeah, you've seen them. Now, a few days away from release, the nice thing is I've done a lot of interviews for long lead press, so journalists have heard the whole album. And without sounding too egotistical, every interview starts with journalists saying, wow, what a great album. Why does it sound like you're still in your 20s? It's got so much energy and passion. So it would seem that we've done a good job.
We can't wait to hear the full album. It's going to be exciting. And of course, and this is the reason why we get to chat to you, you're also going to kick off your Greatest Hits tour in the UK and Ireland in next year. And we can't wait to have you over in South Africa. It's going to be exciting. On the 18th of April, you'll be down at Greenpoint in Cape Town. And then also on the 20th of April at Marks Park in Johannesburg. And we're so excited to see you guys live. Do you still enjoy tour life?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a blessing to have people buy your records and they get played on the radio, but you're never part of them interacting with it until you come to their city and they come to the concert hall. And that's the time when everybody's in the same place together, sharing the music and the vibe. We love playing live. We pour out the energy off the stage and we get it back twofold from the audience. And it just goes into a cycle of positive energy. It's been way too long since we played in South Africa. It's going to be 12 years by the time we get there next April. But we've always had amazing concerts there, and I'm so looking forward to it. It's just, we have the new album out. We will play some of the new album. But you guys missed out on our 40th anniversary souvenir tour, so we owe it to you to play all the hits as well. I mean, we've got to. we would be stupid not to.
Can't wait to see that. What can people expect from the show? Is it like a full band? How's it going to work? What can people expect?
Yeah, it's the full four-piece band. We should be quite good by the time we get to South Africa, because we will have rehearsed doing 42 other concerts before we get to you. So hopefully we should be pretty good by then. And I'm not sure yet how much of the production we're going to bring, because we do have LED screens and media that we show. I'm probably going to beg that we take it, and then my manager and tour manager will say, the tour's going to lose money, Andrew, and I'll say, I don't care.
We don't either.
It should be strong visually, and put not too fine a point on it. We kick ass on stage.
Yeah,
that's
can't
what
wait
we
for that.
And you guys going to spend some time in South Africa? Something you want to see in the time that you're here?
It's been a long time since we were in South Africa, so we have no concerts after we finish in South Africa until September.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I'm going to come in early, and I'm going to leave late, and I'm going to make it into a holiday. Obviously, it'll be autumn your time. I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but I don't care. I'm so looking forward to coming, and yeah, I'm having a holiday in South Africa. You won't get rid of me.
Yeah, well, we would gladly have
welcome.
You over. So just before we let you go, Andy, thank you again for your time and chatting to us, and we can't wait to see you next year. Just lastly, a message to the South African fans from Andy from OND.
We apologize that it's taken us 12 years. We've been trying to get there. We're going to make up for it 1,000-fold when we see you all, because we missed you. And I can't wait to come and share all the music live with what I know are always amazing audiences in South Africa.
Oh, thank you so much, Andy. Like, tickets go on sale Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. breakoutevents.co.za. Get in that line very early, because I can almost put money on it. Both these concerts are going to sell out
very, quickly.
Very, very quickly.
Yeah, very quickly.
Well, I hope so, and I know it's going to be great. So we will look forward to seeing you guys in April next year. You're going to come along, I hope?
Yes,
oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. We're going to see you there. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy McCluskey. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Andy.
Ruben and Charanika, thank you so much. See you next year. Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
See you then.
Ach, yes, like.
What a guy.
Hoe lekker was dit. So, hulle kom Suid-Afrika toe, kry daai kaartjie.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.